Let's get right to it. Coronavirus patients are beginning now to overwhelm a number of U.S. hospitals. It is not good, and it's going to get worse. States are asking FEMA to help handle the dead. Mortuaries are becoming full, and then some. Kaiser Permanente, has threatened to fire nurses for wearing their own masks. Check that out. Makeshift morgues being set up in New York City. L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti warns of mass death and condemns what he says is false hope. It's a very interesting statement from the mayor. I'm not quite sure what prompted him to make such a grim statement, but it certainly is grim. Let me, in fact, do this. I'm going to pull it up and take a quick look and see what this says. It warns of mass death, condemns false hope, and tells us his city will be in lockdown for at least another 2 months and to be prepared for longer. L.A. County residents, L.A. City residents will be confined to their homes until at least May, Mayor Garcia told Insider on Wednesday Today. He pushed back against premature optimism in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic, saying leaders who suggest we are on the verge of business as usual are putting lives at risk. Garcetti said he was worried about the irreplaceable loss of life that's predicted in the output. This will not kill most of us, he said. It will kill a lot more people than we're used to having die around us. It will be our friends. It will be our family. It will be people who we love dearly, and everything I do is through that lens. I think this is at least 2 months for the lockdown, and be prepared for longer, said the mayor. I can't say strongly enough that things are going to get worse. Giving people false hope will crush their spirits and will kill even more people. All right, so that's the mayor of L.A. New York, that's another story. Back with us, of course, is Dr. Henry Nyman right now. Henry, interesting statements from the mayor in L.A. Make statements.
Actually, I don't think it's a different story than New York. It is the same story as New York.
Oh, I only meant in terms of the numbers of cases. It's more in New York.
No, that's just a matter of weeks. I mean, that is basically what the U.S. is. The U.S. is, that is all over the country. There's not going to be any Easter services with packed churches anywhere in the United States or anywhere where there's any major cities. And that's the false hope he's talking about, this nonsense that Trump's throwing out, and he's trying to back it off a little bit. But he's going back to the hoax, and it's all a Democrat plot to win the election.
Excuse me, Trump actually went back. He's leaning back to the hoax paradigm.
He's back to the hoax. Yeah, that it really isn't that bad, and the Democrats are basically using it to destroy the economy and to destroy. They're destroying the economy so that they can win the election.
And him.
That's his latest. So it's just a variation on his hoax. He's falling back on that and going into the attack mode, making it all political. And of course, it's all about him. I mean, there's a pandemic, that's about him. There's the effect on the economy, that's about him. Everything is about him.
That's true.
And that's right. And that is who's in charge of a catastrophe. And it will be a catastrophe, and it'll be much worse than it has to be. And there are going to be
in other words,
everywhere.
The MSNBC chief legal correspondent was correct when he said Trump, and this guy is a 22-year veteran federal prosecutor, said that Trump should be investigated for negligent homicide. A lot of people are going to die because of these conflicting positions and signals. Not a good situation. Not good. Not good.
No, not good at all. He held another press conference. It was mostly on the economy. He didn't really say much, and they started asking him questions about Easter, and he left. He left early.
He left.
He answered one question and
got the hell out.
And took Mnuchin and left, and left Pence and Fauci and what's her name? Deborah. I forgot her last name.
Blix.
Yeah, and left them to answer questions and took off. Took off early. And,
he had a golf date, didn't he? Something? No.
I don't know if they were working on the new proposal or exactly what. I don't even remember what the excuse was, but he definitely left. And
I don't watch these things. I'm too busy. I'm glad you do, and they're here to report about it.
Yeah, well, they're hard to watch.
I would imagine.
They're getting harder by the
he's going to have to go to
today.
A three-time a week. I've read negative reviews, quite a few. There, people say,
yeah,
why?
Well, he uses them instead of his rallies. So he uses them
the word.
to try to score political points. And just kind of, if you need to, excuses for eye rolling, you can go and watch that for just a few minutes. Not
no.
too much. It hurts your eyes.
But in
any event, the U.S. will be number one. Shows how good a job he is controlling the virus. I thought we would be number one by Friday, but we've got a real good chance of becoming number one tomorrow. So we're ahead of schedule, and
we'll
be number one by
work.
Friday. But,
okay.
But by the end of the day tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
New York is kind of plateaued at 5,000 cases a day, 5,000 new cases. They're mm-hmm. testing around 15,000. They're getting about 30%. And that's been pretty steady. So the last 3 days or so, they've tacked on about 5,000 new cases each day. And yesterday, the U.S. got up to 10,000, 5,000 from New York and 5,000 for the rest. But today, the U.S. is up to almost 14,000 new cases, 5,000 from New York and 9,000 for the rest of the country. And that's about all they need to do tomorrow. They're right now, they're about 6,000 behind Italy,
mm-hmm.
and they're gaining about 8,000 a day. So we should be able to pass Italy tomorrow. And they're 13,000 behind China. Who isn't really adding much of anything. We did 14,000 today. So if we do 14,000 tomorrow, we will be number one. And since we did 14,000 a day, we're almost guaranteed to do more than 14,000 tomorrow because we're in exponential growth. It's not just New York. It's New Jersey and Pennsylvania are kind of right. helping out in the Northeast, and
right.
and New Orleans has taken off down in Louisiana, and Atlanta's taken off in Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia's
and Detroit
a big player
is taken
now.
Off in Michigan, and And that doesn't even count California. You know, they don't even need California. They have these major outbreaks. And these are all almost certainly linked to this Italian strain of the virus. And it's in high gear now. And people are trying to figure out, well, let's see, do we see a little bit of flattening here and a little bit of flattening there? And it looks like it's slowing down a little bit here, and it looks like it's slowing down a little bit there. And in the meantime, you got the headlines that you just read where the hospitals are starting to be overrun. The there was just for Pennsylvania, kind of following Pennsylvania. I'm in Western. I got family in Eastern. And how many healthcare workers got infected today in Pennsylvania? I'll tell you a guess.
$500.
No, not that many. It's healthcare workers. Not a,
all right. I don't know. Another 25, 30?
37.
Gone?
37.
37
a day.
Well, that's 37 a day. Do the math.
Yeah,
get those Filipinos
only,
ready to come over here.
That's only one city.
Yeah.
That was 37 in
one
Philadelphia.
City. Wow.
Yeah. And they kept updating Pennsylvania. The actual numbers for Pennsylvania are obsolete. They put them up at noon or so, and they got above 1,000. Mm-hmm. And they're all off. The Philadelphia's it by itself is up to 392, I think, and now the deaths are starting. It doesn't have all the deaths either. You got 11 deaths. It doesn't have Delaware County. It's got a couple of deaths. Their first two, they don't have them yet.
Uh-huh.
They're just you know, once the state hits 1,000, then they tack on another 1,000 in a day or two, you know, and mm-hmm. and you get four or five states doing that, and all of a sudden you got another New York. You got to divide it up in five little pieces, but each of right. those five little pieces will be as big as New York is now in a week or two. And we're heading for Easter, right? As it's going to happen Easter, we can go out and you know, be maybe South Dakota and set up your services up there. It might not be too bad yet. And North Dakota and Kansas, maybe. And you got a few of the plain states where they might be still in double digits as far as how many cases they have. The rest of the country will be in triple digits.
Okay.
And
Cuomo
will be in four digits.
Cuomo That's today right. said that New York is facing about 40,000 ICU cases, but only has 3,000 beds. Oh.
Yeah.
Triage.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be throughout the U.S. The U.S. will literally be number one by this time tomorrow, within 24 hours. They will have passed Italy and China. And that's on the total cases. They will make a move on the deaths. They will be number one in deaths. Might take a week or so. But they've got, I mean, China's not number one anymore. Italy's number one. Spain's number two. And the U.S. is number six or so. But they'll be probably up to number three next week, probably. So maybe it's a 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away to get up to number one. I mean, Italy and Spain are both tacking on 600-700 deaths a day. So there, we got a little ways to go before we can start gaining on them. They're still pulling away, but everybody else, we should be able to pass. We're over 1,000. We broke 1,000 uh-huh. today. And
55,000 cases in the U.S., something like that. 55,000 cases. And the stats I got. Yeah.
We're up to 68 now.
Oh, this was an older chart. 50, then.
Yeah, yesterday was 55. Today's 68. You got to add this 14,000 today.
And so yesterday
was behind.
Three,
it only takes a day.
Yeah.
I mean, we added 14,000 today. You know what 14,000 is? Two seasons of SARS. We got two seasons done in one day. Not bad.
No.
Day's
not
work,
bad.
Huh? Yeah.
And yesterday, only 390.
But 7,000 in a day or 14,000 in a day will seem like nothing in a week or two. I mean, we're not going to be adding 13,000 a day.
No, the math has not slowed down. No, the exponential math has not slowed down. Yesterday, there were only 397 resolved cases on that data that I saw.
Yeah.
Today, I don't know how many, but... That's a fly speck compared to 68,000 cases.
Well, they're adding 14,000 a day.
Yeah.
So most of those cases aren't going to die in a day. It's going to take a little while, and they're not going to get discharged in a day. And so the hospitals are getting full, and they're getting full fast. And they can't, even if they get the money from Congress, they don't have anything to spend it on because everything is back ordered or they're competing with FEMA and, you know, FEMA's outbidding them.
Yep.
Right.
Remember, if they get the money, they got nothing to buy.
Right.
Nothing there.
Right. And Trump's talking about, well, you know, he signed, he's got the authority. He can order U.S. companies to, you know,
but for some reason he just can't muster up the strength to do it.
Yeah, we'll just wait for them to come forward and, you know, get a little bit here, a little bit there.
Waiting for them to come
done.
To me, and he brags
right,
about
right.
it. Yes, such and such came to me and said that they're going to do it.
And they'll have stuff in, you know, a few weeks, few months, you know.
Isn't that the inverse of leadership?
They're working on it. Yeah, they should be making shovels and bulldozers to bury the bodies. You know, it's absurd. I mean, he has turned this country into a banana republic with one moron at the top. He's watching TV and trying to figure out how he can get his rally started again.
It's all about him, as you said. That really is the name of this game. It's all about Trump.
There is no doubt.
Through his mind.
Exactly. And he's in charge. And he's just sitting there with his big black marker in his pocket. He's not using it. He's just sitting around there. Oh, look at all these dead people. I wonder, oh, it looks like a lot of them are Democrats anyway. Big deal. It is pathetic. And the country's just kind of looking at it saying,
The country's
like
not.
Maybe,
it's
maybe
staring
it's just
in the
another
headlights.
Flu.
It's staring
just
in the
flu.
Headlights. Yeah.
I saw guys on Twitter that the way they're going to solve the pandemic is to just, you know, stop worrying about the virus and just say it's flu. And I mean, people die from the flu all the time.
Oh, how clever!
Listen to Trump. They buy. They die from traffic accidents. So what's the problem? I mean, people still drive cars. You know, it's
really turning surreal. It's just not. It's hard to believe, but it's true. What's going on? This is amazing.
No, it's not. It's not hard to believe at all. It's very predictable.
You've been
very
watching it. I haven't. I mean, I read about it, and I just, how can this be? It's like fiction, science fiction. But it's like a bad Hollywood B movie.
Yeah. Well, you're looking at the stats. You got 55,000 cases, and you were right yesterday. But it's 68 now. That's what it's showing up. It's going up literally, you know. 14,000 today. You know, it was a big deal when it went up 10,000 yesterday or the day before. I think maybe it was the first time it went up 10,000. Now it's 14,000. it'll be 15,000-16,000 tomorrow. And then, you got to see these press conferences now. They're trying to figure out how can we come up with something that'll make Trump happy. You know, well, look at these curves and see. I mean, if you look at the curves are are terrible. I mean, because they show this rate of growth, and they talk about the ones that kind of bend the curves and kind of flatten the curves and got things under control. And China did it, and South Korea did it, and Hong Kong did it, and Japan did it. And you know what? All those countries that did it had it in common. They're all in Asia. They all had the early version of the virus. And then they showed the countries in Europe. And none of them did it. They're all moving on a pace where they're doubling in 2 days. Right. They're all lined up, going straight up. Nobody's curving in Europe. And then the United States is even more vertical than Europe is. They're just, they're this, hockey stick kind of thing. They are kind of just going straight up. And they basically have a different virus. And it's like the CDC hasn't quite figured that out yet. And they've got all these sequences. And I've been looking at a lot of sequences. And there's kind of only two versions of the virus that's circulating now.
So far.
Currently. Currently, yeah. if you look at the sequences, they fall into just two groups. Mm-hmm. They fall into either the group from Italy, or they fall into the group from this now in Seattle, the one that has the ORF8 mutation. And that's just about everything. There's variations on those two versions. And so they'll divide up a little bit. But they're just in those two big groups. And what's on the East Coast and the east of the Mississippi is largely the version from Italy. And then on the West Coast, it's more the version from Seattle.
Hey, Henry. Henry. Henry, hold on. This is, I just got this. This is the mayor talking here.
Stay home, stay alive order that was issued last Monday. This whole COVID-19 is a very strange situation. It's a nightmare from which we all wish we could escape, but it isn't and we can't.
Can you hear that?
The danger is that there may become fairly ill people from the virus that need serious medical attention, that they swamp our system, forcing out the normal patients who find themselves there.
Is that better?
Fortunate point in time.
Yeah.
It is our job to deflect that surge by stifling the spread of the invisible threat among us. You know the drill. Hand washing, elbow coughing, surface cleaning, 6-foot distancing, etc. The trick now is to translate that into a homebound life, only venturing out for supplies, exercise, or to help our neighbors. Regardless of the big picture issues, regardless of what information is true and what false,
this is our mayor.
Together, have to
a robocall.
We have to create new lives until we stifle the disease. This is a challenge to our community and one that will become part of its history, maybe an important turning point. And I want to tell you that we're not alone. Led by Kelly Madding and Adam Hanks and the EOC, the city.
All right. I'm sure. That's enough. You get the idea. It's a robocall, and probably communities all around the country are getting similar messages from their elected leadership. Anyhow, I just came in on the phone just now, so there you go.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that that's kind of what we're reduced to. I mean, it's like there's not really a proven medication. There's not really a vaccine. There's not really any way to kind of close the door. It's already, it's already here. It's already spreading, And
well, the perspective is we're completely at its mercy. That's the general perspective.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing.
And it's not like you can erect these barricades to keep it out. It's here. It's all over the place. You're not going to get people to do these 14-day quarantine. You know, if they move out of the area, I'm sure many from the New York area have kind of moved on, and some have probably gone down to Florida, and some have realized that it's not good in Florida, and they moved to some of these places that have somewhat lower levels right now, but they won't have lower levels for long. And it's possible that it will be a little bit of a seasonal picture. Some comments were made that the things are picking up in the southern hemisphere as it's kind of going into their fall and winter, and therefore there may be less virus in the north and more virus in the south in the next few months or so. So we may kind of get this Trump miracle. If you live in the northern hemisphere, it won't be quite a miracle.
There are a lot of people who believe that they believe that this warming temperatures are going to literally eradicate most all the virus. I'm hearing that too.
Yeah, but even when the virus takes a seasonal pattern, it doesn't go to zero. I mean, the best example that most of your listeners can remember is the swine flu. And it kind of followed this pattern that it first showed up in the fall, in the spring. It showed up kind of in the late spring is when it really started taking off. And then seasonal flu started fading away. And by April or May in particular, it was pretty much the only game in town. The seasonal flu was gone, at least in the northern hemisphere. Seasonal flu was gone, and the swine flu was there. And it did go down over the summer, but it didn't disappear. It went down. If you were following it, you had to follow it kind of closely because it was present in summer camps. And there would be these mystery diseases, and you try to get some specifics. Say, well, was that swine flu? I mean, what kind of symptoms did they have? You know, they had flu-like symptoms, and it was summertime, and there usually isn't much seasonal flu around in the summer. And, it could be a summer cold. Now, cold is kind of a warning because this is a cold virus. But it was circulating, and it hung around enough so that when school started in the South, it starts early, starts like August 1st, there was a whole new population that kind of was, very, very crowded and weren't maintaining 6 feet apart. There are a lot of people and school activities, school buses, school sports, and then it started to take off in the South, and then it kind of spread some more in the fall when more schools were opening up, and then once it got established in the schools, then it kind of came around in October or so for the more aggressive version of it, and then it started to fade, and then there was a vaccine, and then it turned into something a lot tamer, and it became, the new seasonal flu. It got rid of the old H1N1, which had a lot of Tamiflu resistance, and that was replaced with the swine flu, and the swine flu has been around ever since. And it follows a seasonal pattern, and it does fade away in the summer, but it goes to the southern hemisphere in the summer. And, it's possible that this virus will follow something similar. And then come May or June, it may start to fade. It's not going to fade by Easter. that, that's not going to happen, but you know, it may start to go down, and then there'll be a whole issue of what's going to happen in the fall. You know, and what version is going to be coming back, and how much immunity will people have, and actually that was another thing that was in the news today. They were saying, well, you know, this new virus here, novel coronavirus, it's not really mutating very, very fast. You know, you should be able to get a vaccine, and you should be able to take, you know, one course of the vaccine, and
right.
You should be good for life. You know, this isn't going to change. And you know what they said about SARS? They said the exact same thing. When it emerged, it doesn't look like it's mutating very fast, and it should stay the same. Now, with SARS, it turned out there was one mutation in particular, this in the 29 nucleotide deletion, that was associated with this spread, and that was present in the all the international cases, and it did fade. It did fade, and then when it came back at the end of 2003, beginning of 2004, that version didn't have the 29 nucleotide deletion, and the virus was a little bit different, and it had done some recombining, but it was still pretty much dependent upon the civet cat to get back into the human population, and they got aggressive and culled all the civet cats and pretty much got the virus under control and out of the human population. And there were a limited number of cases that that happened before all the culling, and then at least on paper, or at least officially, the virus did disappear in humans. It was still present in bats, and the one that's circulating now is just a cousin of that one. But the problem with the current version is there's a whole lot more of it than there was on the SARS. And it's, you know, orders of magnitude, like I said, in the United States today, added two seasons worth of SARS just in one day in one country. And because there's so much more of it, and it does so well in humans, and even if there's a seasonal aspect, there's lots of humans in the southern hemisphere, and it's already made entries into the southern hemisphere.
Oh, Argentina is locked down now already.
Yeah.
What country is in lockdown?
Well, the lockdown does have an effect. You know, and, you know, I mentioned before yesterday, I think, the thermometers and, you know, taking people's temperature, you can kind of track it. And you can see where it starts to, you know, expand. And then, you know, you do things like close down the schools, and that takes away, you know, one major mode of expansion. And then you do lockdowns, and people aren't going to work, and they're kind of staying off the streets and not, you know, keeping their social distancing intact, then it's hard because the virus needs a host. I mean, the virus doesn't have that many genes. It has enough to kind of copy its genetic information and kind of package it up.
Mm-hmm.
But to do all that, they still need another cell, a mammalian cell in this case, to provide all the machinery to kind of make the new viruses. So, the host generally get rid of the virus one way or the other. Either the host dies, you know, or the immune system knocks out the virus and they have to kind of go to a new host. And after a while, they got to change the coding of the virus so the whole population no longer recognizes it. And then it can kind of start over again. And so it generally needs whatever the host is, in this case, people, it needs people to transmit it, you know, provide a medium for it to go one to the other. And if people don't spread it, the virus fades away. But And a lot of these countries realize that. And it's easier to kind of put this into effect early on and kind of take away the ability of the virus to spread than to do it later on, because you just need a small number of people that start spreading it and have these little pockets. And when you ease up, then they can kind of come back and start infecting more people again.
Here's a story from a New York hospital, a doctor who spoke to CNN on condition of anonymity out of concern for his job, described a hospital that was woefully unprepared for an influx of COVID-19 patients that started roughly 2 weeks ago, which has already stretched the hospital's resources thin and led to severely ill patients outnumbering ventilators. We don't have the machines. We don't have the beds, the doctor said. To think that we're in New York City and this is happening, it's like a third world country type of scenario. It's mind-boggling. I don't think the younger people understand the severity of this disease. 2 weeks ago, life was completely different. Public health experts, including U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Jerome Adams, have warned the U.S. could become Italy. Sound familiar, Henry? Where doctors in hospitals filled with COVID-19 patients have been forced to ration care and choose who gets the ventilators. But the U.S. may already be seeing the beginnings of this in some areas, making a new stage for the nation's outbreak. The reality is what we're seeing right now in our emergency rooms is dire, said Dr. Craig Spencer, Director of Global Health and Emergency Services Medicine at New York Presbyterian Columbia Medical Center in New York City. Last week when I went to work, we talked about one or two patients, this is a week, among the dozens of others that might have been in a coronavirus, that might have been a coronavirus patient, one or two others. In my shift yesterday, nearly every single patient that I took care of was coronavirus, and many of them extremely severe. Many were put on breathing tubes. Many decompensated quite quickly. This is a very different air this week than it was last week. And that's just in New York City. That's going to be reflected in all major cities in this country before too much longer.
Some are right now. I mean, I was a little surprised. I mentioned yesterday that Mardi Gras kind of led to problems in Louisiana and in general, New Orleans in particular. And the New Orleans is up to, I think, 64 deaths now, or Louisiana's the 64 deaths, most of which are in New Orleans. And they listed their location and their ages. And I was surprised when I saw the ages, because they had, I think, 64. And I think it was, it's either 19 of them or 29 of them, were under 60. And there were some in their 30s, some in their 40s, some in their 50s. And these weren't, younger people that were in the ICU or admitted. These were fatal cases. And so it's not just people that are in their 70s and 80s. It's not just grandma and grandpa that are dying. There's 30 and 40 year olds that are dying. And this is just the beginning. I mean, this is
Henry, 64. Some are maintaining that most all of the fatalities are people with underlying health conditions, compromised conditions. I don't know that I've seen any figures on that, but I know that a lot of them don't have underlying health. They're healthy people.
Right.
I've seen too many stories.
Right.
It's just knocked. They're just stricken and knocked down, and they don't get up.
Right. And the earlier ones are going to be are going to be more heavily weighted to the underlying condition. You know, those are the most vulnerable, and those are the first to go. But this, like I said, this is just the beginning. This is, you know, like you just read a week ago, these people weren't even in the hospital. Yeah, many of them 2 weeks ago, anyway, and they were just starting. They kind of, you know, read about them in the papers. Oh, they got this disease, this mystery. I mean, it's not even a mystery. It's little. You know, Trump can't see it, so it's a little invisible enemy or whatever he calls it. And but it the virus is just getting going, and you can see it from the cases. I mean, there were 14,000 cases today in the U.S. alone. And I remember when the whole world got up to 14, most of which were in China at the time. But it was it took a while to get up to 7,000, not 14,000, just 7,000, which is, I think it was 7,700, which is how many cases there were in SARS. And that was, that began in like October, November, and it went to like May or so, so that was many, many months. And the 7,700 wasn't just China. That included the cases in Toronto and Singapore and Hanoi and Hong Kong and Taiwan. They all kind of added their fair share to that 7,700 total. And that's minuscule. I mean, there'll be 7,700 more cases in the U.S. by noon tomorrow. And they're not counting them at night. It's only tomorrow morning they'll do that in a couple, several hours. So I get 7,000 cases that are newly reported.
Here's one I just got from one of our major support researchers out there, Jim. He said, as far as these people talking about warm weather suppressing the virus, he knows people in Honduras. He said, right now in Honduras, it is hot, probably 100 degrees in a lot of places. Based on the official numbers from the government, it looks like the case rate is doubling every 2, maybe 3 days. So don't count on hot weather to take this down.
Yeah, well, Honduras, I mean, everything east of the Mississippi essentially is getting this version from Europe. And that's kind of where it's concentrated. And it is in that rate of, 2 or 3 days to double. I mean, it is expanding rapidly. And it's just kind of mind-boggling that WHO is talking about what happened in Asia. And what did they do to get it under control? And that all of these countries got it under control, and they didn't have that many cases. I mean, especially when you compare what they look like today here or in Europe. I mean, Europe is both Italy and Spain are in the 600 to 700 people per day are dying. It's not just cases. And that seems like a really large number, but the United States is going to be losing 600 or 700 a day in a couple of weeks. That's just what it's on pace for. And it's not just going to be New York, and it's not just going to be the Northeast, and it's not going to be, pick your location. It's not just going to be in California or in Washington State or, any one place in particular, any major metropolitan city, maybe a little bit less rurally, but a major city where you've got a high concentration of people, that are somewhat mobile. are going to get infected with this virus, even with these lockdowns. It's going to be hard to totally shut it out. And
you know, I read something else.
Once you start lifting it.
It's important, and it had to do with the way that they rate the severity of the cases. Mild, medium, severe, critical. Mild, medium, severe, critical. And what they're saying is, and I've read two or three like this, that the mild and medium cases are, by any normative description, often quite severe. This is not a mild. Now, that's not to say there aren't mild cases, but a lot of the mild to medium cases are actually, they're knocking people right just into bed. Boom. They're just out. They can't function. It's a very aggressive, serious virus. It's not a light thing you can just work around. Some people can, but apparently a lot cannot. Even though they're not critical, they're not severe, they are down.
Well,
is that correct?
Like I said, the name pneumonia used to be in the case definition, and it was the same thing with SARS. I mean, they didn't count those that were infected, but they weren't. They hadn't developed pneumonia. So if they developed pneumonia, they ended up in the hospital. And that's what they were keeping score on in SARS. They were talking about hospitalized patients. And that's why, you know, you had a 10% case fatality rate, because 10% of the people that had pneumonia and went in the hospital ended up dying. And it was, you know, there was a pretty good relationship with the age, that if you were 20, you know, virtually nobody died. You know, if you're 30, it was, you know, maybe 1 or 2% or so. If it was 40, it maybe it was 5%. And then if you got into being 50, closer to 60, 70, then it was getting in the 10 to 20% range. And for people that just had the virus without the pneumonia, where the case fatality rate was essentially zero, they didn't even go in the hospital. You know, they might have been, as you described, Bill, too tired and too wiped out to do anything except kind of sleep in bed.
That's right.
And let it, you know, kind of work its way through and run its course and recover. And then some people, you know, weren't even at that level. They were kind of, because, you know, I'm virtually positive what I described for the swine flu where the initial round in school, nobody stayed home from school. Everybody had a cough. And they didn't really have much of a fever, and they just had this real mild disease. And that's what people have with SARS-CoV-2. It's the same thing that some people, I mean, I'm almost positive I had it. I had a cough.
You had it twice. You had it twice.
Well, no, I did have spine twice. I think I've had SARS-CoV-2 already. And I just had this cough, and I was real tired. And it lasted a week to 10 days or so. And I still can get a little bit of a tickle. The cough is kind of there, but not really much anymore.
Well, just look how fast they took you in for your test to help you understand if you did or didn't have it. That was amazing.
Yeah. So
I don't even talk to Henry about tests. And he didn't get a test. I'm kidding. He couldn't get tested.
No. I even tried to see if I could get in for the tail end of this to get it. And but they changed here in Pittsburgh. They still say, well, you pretty much need to have a fever, a cough, and breathing difficulties. And, you know, I had the cough. I didn't really have the fever. And I didn't really have much of a fever with swine flu. When I had swine flu, it was, I started with a cough, and then it was a real persistent cough.
I remember.
Yeah. You coughed. Well, the cough lasted for like a month or so. But at the very beginning, it was a cough. I felt a little bit flushed. I took my temperature. It got up to like 99-something. Yeah, maybe 99.8 or something. I had taken some Tamiflu. I decided I should just, you know, get in bed and kind of get some rest. And I had like a night sweat. You know, I woke up in the morning. The sheets were all wet. And I felt a lot better. I took my temperature. I didn't have a temperature anymore. I didn't really feel flushed. I still had the cough. But that was it. That was the only symptom I had after that one night. So I had a fever for, you know, 5 or 6 hours. And that was it. And other than when I was asleep that night. And it's the same thing with this. A bunch of people don't have a fever and they're relying on. But the change I was going to tell you was in Philadelphia, they've taken away the fever. They'll test you now without a fever. So that got changed, but I'm not in Philadelphia. I'm not sure what to do if they tell me I still have virus. So that would be a bad situation. But anyway,
all right. Yeah.
Things are deteriorating. The numbers will be higher. And by tomorrow, we have a very good chance at this time, U.S. will be number one in the world as far as confirmed cases is concerned.
We'll find out
we'll
tomorrow night, Henry.
If we get there. Yep. Yeah. Sounds good. Okay. See you then. Take care.
Thanks. Okay. Dr. Henry Nyman. Okay. Find out tomorrow. We may be number one. Thanks for being here. Talk soon. Take care and be safe.